goes for goal and finishes off the PSG victory.
Nuno Mendes est lancé, Nuno Mendes navigue, Nuno Mendes passe devant Cuadrado, le tir, oh il est beau celui-là, le but de Nuno Mendes.
You know the football, it is what it is.
Le premier but de Ronald Colomboani avec le Paris Saint-Germain, ah quelle joie.
Hello and welcome to PSG Review, also known as the show keeping abreast of the going-ons, the ins and outs of our beloved Parisian football club. A lot is happening as things are. It's a very exciting time and the mood around the club seems genuinely pretty good. My name is Mikko and I appreciate the fact that you are listening to PSG Review right now, and you can also find the show and me online and Twitter at PSG Review Pod, and on Instagram and TikTok as well. That is at PSG Review. You can also check it out on YouTube and Blue Sky. There's a lot to talk about today. The club is a little bit in the crossroads, and with me I have Charles Joe talking about it all. Charles is not just the co-founder of PSG Fan Club in Toronto, where he's at the moment, but also a co-founder of Fan Club in Montreal, or should I say Montreal. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Mikko. It's great.
It's really a great pleasure to have you on the show. We are going to get into the current PSG topics in a moment, but you are there in Toronto, but you have also strong connection to not just to PSG, but to the city of Paris. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I have I grew up there. I moved from Korea when I'm 2 years old. I grew up all my childhood in Paris. And this is obviously how I became a strong supporter and fan of Paris Saint-Germain. I grew up near the Parc des Princes. I was a season ticket holder in the 93-94 season, the year of the second title. I was in the stadium for PSG Real Madrid on March 18, 1993. After that, I had to leave to the US, so I wasn't able to follow as closely. But my roots and my DNA is pretty much rooted in the Parc des Princes, precisely in Boulogne-Billancourt, where I grew up. And every time I go back to Paris, I stay in Boulogne-Billancourt. I still have my PSG friends who are still strong supporters. This is our central piece, our identity. So yes, I'm 100% Parisian. I even have a t-shirt that says I'm 100% Parisien. I'm very proud of it. So, and I just came back from it, so I'm very happy to be with you on this podcast to talk about PSG, of course.
That's really excellent. So you represent perhaps a more traditional end of the fan base, which is really great. I'm always happy to hear from all kinds of people, and you guys sort of have a whole different insight to what's happening in Paris. And there's always a different thing when you're looking at the bigger, you kind of like can take a step back and look at the big picture. But right now, if we are looking at what's happening right now, we find ourselves here now as we are recording this on Thursday, sort of less than a week before a very decisive and potentially also sort of season-defining match against Real Sociedad. And PSG has 2-goal lead on aggregate from the first match, which wasn't really, to be honest with you, entirely convincing, not for 90 minutes. The second half was good, but the first half not so much. What is your view on this match that we are going to have next week? How are you looking at it?
I just happened to have been at the Parc des Princes for the first leg, and I can tell you, I agree with you that we were kind of lucky that to come back from this semi-mediocre first half and to win this game. I don't know exactly how, but good thing. You know, you talked about the traditional fans and the old-time fans and even recent fans. We went through a lot of emotions when it comes to Champions League second leg game. This is the big issue with Paris Saint-Germain. A lot of it probably pressure, mental issues. So we are probably the only club on earth that even with a 3 or 4 goals lead in the second half, we get scared. And I have heard very little about how confident PSG fans are, which is scary, right? When you lead 2-3-4-0, okay, you go away on the second leg and you are not nervous because you don't know what's going to happen, because PSG is capable to do anything from awesome to completely disastrous. So my take is that on this game, we are being cautious. I don't know. We know the new coach, Luis Enrique. He comes with some compositions, a lineup that are sometimes very strange with some different positions. I honestly have a little bit lower expectations with the slight hope that this one we will make it, even if it's barely. I would really like to make it to the quarters this year. It's been too long. I do see a tough game, but I've also heard that Sociedad has had a very tough week with a overtime game. They're going to have another game, so they might be tired. We may take advantage of that. But again, you know, you never, in French, they say you never sell the bear's skin before you kill the bear, right? And I think we have learned a lesson in the past. So I am cautiously optimistic because with this team, it's a different vibe. Hopefully we will do a good tactic this time. We will be there physically and good preparation game. It wasn't ideal against Rennes. Tomorrow against Monaco, it's a good chance to get ready. But we just never know with PSG. But I am a little bit more confident from the past lessons we had and the fact that Sociedad may not be in the top conditions. I think that will play a role too.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how it's going to go. And there is that. There's been many seasons when we haven't really had that problem. It's actually, we had it, and then there were a few seasons. One year we went to the final. Of course, that was a little bit unusual season because of the corona and all of those things. But then the season after that, and that was the season that we didn't even win the Ligue 1 that season. It was Lille that won it that year, but it was a very good, respectable run, beating both Barcelona and Bayern Munich. You know, of course, huge team. Maybe it's not the Barcelona of the old days, but nevertheless, it was still a reasonably good Barcelona. So we've had some good seasons, but now a couple of years again, yeah, it has been that. And I often say that the only team that can really beat PSG is PSG. Unfortunately, it can be like that, but at least, well, I don't really want to reminisce this too much, but at least our coach now is the coach that gave us the biggest disappointment when he was Barcelona coach at the time when four goals was not enough. But that was a different time, and that certainly the refereeing had a lot to do with that. So, like I said, we are recording this now on Thursday. I think it's always useful to say when things are recorded because things move so quickly, and who knows what the news are going to be tomorrow. And also tomorrow is a match day. Also, PSG is playing Monaco on the road, which is never really an easy match. It's been quite a difficult match for several seasons now. Marquinhos is not traveling. Skriniar, of course, is also unavailable, as is Presnel Kimpembe. Now with Marquinhos, it seems that he could be back for the Real Sociedad match, so it's nothing that serious. But it's safe to say that our central defense is very thin at the moment, and we don't know how it's going to look next week. But hopefully Marquinhos is going to be back. But the good news is that Nuno Mendes is back, and he's back in terms of he is back, but of course he's not necessarily on his usual level because he's been nearly 1 year away from football. But if he's playing, if he's able to play, then that could enable Lucas Hernandez to play more centrally. It's the back line really that is the question mark. It seems that many of our problems this season have come from defense, I think. What do you have? What kind of thoughts do you have about our defensive situation at the moment?
Well, I totally agree that defense has been shuffled too many times. I cannot even keep up what the coach is doing. I think he's trying his best. He's trying some different combinations. Danilo, even Zaire Emery sometimes played much, much more back. I really hope that even if Marquinhos comes back, hopefully, it's going to be a lot in the head mentally. I'm not saying everybody can play defense. Don't get me wrong. But I think defending it takes more mental and fighting than like the technical skill of going to midfield and construct the game to the offense. So I'm just hoping that, and I don't want to make any prediction of who's going to play. This is not really my style. I just go with the flow. But I just hope that they would have the right hand on the shoulder and, you know, have a strong mental in the head. It's going to be very psychological, physical as well, and hopefully not too many fouls. The penalties are always haunting us, you know, against us. You know, at a home game with a somewhat home game advantage, you never know. So I'm just hoping that they will be, you know, professional enough, careful enough, and mentally strong enough to hold the thing in the end. Like, you know, one of the weaknesses is free kicks and corners. We concede a lot of goals on that. And that's usually can be sometimes avoided, except when you have amazing kind of headshots or shots. But if you are marking your player correctly, you can prevent goals. And we've considered too many goals by not paying attention for those 3 or 4 seconds when the ball comes on in the box. So with the elements, to me, it's going to be a matter of fighting spirit and mental. And Marquinhos is one of the victims of the Real Madrid trauma. And I'm hoping that he's really recovering from that, but I'm worried about him. I mean, he's a great player. I love him. But mentally, he became weaker. We have to say it. He's not so confident as anymore. And as I said, the traditional for the last 2 years, second leg of the eighth of final of the Champions League, early first week of March has always been bad luck for us. I'm just hoping this is me turn around. And Enrique, I'm waiting for him to give the tools and the energy and mental energy and physical energy to allow our players to do good. So
I think one thing that can be said about Enrique is that unlike perhaps last year or even year before that, even if he has sometimes very unusual formations and choices, I don't really get them. Oftentimes he sort of seems to neglect a little bit the midfield and goes very heavily attacking football, which of course is his style. But he seems to be able to do something on the halftime. Like whatever he does on a halftime, whatever he says to the players, whatever his approach is, there seems to be something that changes, because there's been some seasons, including I think the last maybe, I would say with Galtier and Pochettino also, that however we play, that's just the way that we play that night, and there's not going to be huge changes in the halftime or anything like that. So that's something that I take a little bit of solace in that. We're talking about the defense now. Nordi Mukiele is one player that that can play actually quite a few different positions in our defense, but he has been, in my opinion, he has been massively underutilized this season by Luis Enrique. How do you view him? Is he a player that that you would like to see more, or are you more or less sort of like indifferent about it?
Zaire Emery and Ugarte have been very impressive at the beginning of the season. They've had other ups and downs. When they play in their positions, obviously they're better. I do agree that there are been changes made by Enrique more. I like the fact that he makes change at halftime. He makes change at the hour. Doesn't wait until 82 minutes to make a change like it was from previously. And I think tactically he's able to adapt quickly. So that I'm happy. I am less convinced sometimes of his initial lineups and the fact that he has to make those sometimes drastic changes shows that maybe he didn't make the right lineup at the beginning. And of course, sometimes it depends on how the player performed that day. But many times we all know that the lineups of Luis Enrique of Paris Saint-Germain is always a bit of a surprise. you are always, there's at least one or two surprises, like whether that player is there and whether there is where they play, right? And I'm a little bit, I'm from Korean descent, as I mentioned. Lee Gang-in has been lots of ups and downs. He's more on the downside now. I'm hoping he can come back to his level. He may have lost the coach's trust, confidence right now, because the last few games he wasn't that good. But I still think that he can bring a lot to the game. And when he plays well. His technique and his shots and his ability to create games and to tackle the balls is pretty good. So if I had to, three players I'd like to see back at the level at the right position, Ugarte, Zaire Emery, and Lee. They have at least impressed us in more than one game. And this is maybe the chance to do that either as a sub or either as a starter on Tuesday. So yeah, I have a lot of good preferred players, but those are the ones that, wow, this year they're new and they have, Zaire Emery is not new, but, it's a newer dimension. And Ugarte and Lee, I just hope that they come back to their level quickly. Yeah.
That's very interesting. And I wanted to actually talk to you about Lee Kang-in, because like you did mention, you were born in South Korea. You moved to Paris when you were two. So let's talk about him a little bit more. Last couple of seasons, quite understandably, there's been at Parc des Princes, there's been sort of like people who've done their pilgrimage to come and see Lionel Messi to play there, and it has almost like changed the dynamics of the park when you're there. You kind of like you feel it and you sense it and even hear it quite clearly for the past couple of seasons when he was there. Now he's no longer there. Of course, those people are no longer there. But there seems to be like I don't know if it's just the TV director who is always picking up, but there's a lot of Lee Kang-in fans that are traveling to the stadium, Parc des Princes, to watch these matches. What kind of figure is he? Of course, he's a very young man, but what kind of figure is he in South Korea? How do you can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, we know that in the 53-year history of Paris Saint-Germain, there was never been an Asian descent player until him. We've had players from all over the world, except Asian. And the first Asian player being Korean, and of course, you can feel the pride as a Parisian Korean. That's what I am. So that's a big, big thing for me. That was a big thing when he signed. Lee Kang-in played for the national team in the Asian Cup U22 last September. He was gone for about a month. And then he played again the Asian Cup recently in January. The good thing is he won it with Korea last September. As you know, there are military service requirements exempted when they win a big trophy. So, you know, if he hadn't won any of these cups, any of these championship or titles, then he would have been subject to military. So that was a big thing that he won. I heard some fans that they are very upset because it's like, oh, he's gone all the time. And yeah, but I mean, he's gone, but it was worth it, right? At the end, he was exempted from military service. He did an okay Asian Cup as a pro A because he turned in the age. He basically played twice at the national level. So that's a lot away, I have to say. And in terms of the fans, first of all, I'm a Korean who moved when I was very young, so I'm not a Korean who lives in Korea or real Korean. Like, but I know a lot of Korea that we are pretty extreme. The fans, when you buy things and when you follow an idol, you can see the K-pop, the stars, they go extreme. To the point where I remember when he joined, his jersey with his name was outselling Mbappé. That to tell you, because when it's a massive kind of movement when the Koreans buy something. So he has massive support from the country because one, he's one of the few players who managed to get hired by a major club in Europe. Of course, you had Park Ji-sung at Manchester United and then you have Son Heung-min at Tottenham. And he's probably one of the third one who plays. There's other Korean players, but they don't play it at that level. Play Champions League, you know, top of the league, European club. And Paris has, you know, they don't have a lot of Koreans, but a good population. So, of course, it would attract all the Koreans who had no idea and didn't really care about Paris Saint-Germain. Suddenly, they have a Korean player and you see them at the Parc des Princes. I didn't really pay attention when I was there because it wasn't my thing, but you've seen things like Happy New Year in Koreans. You have seen advertising in Koreans, Korean sponsor like Paris Baguette, which is a Korean company. And I can also speak for in Toronto, we have the new store, as you may have heard, a new store in place. And I know the store manager, they told me that again, here, the jersey that sells the most is Lee Kang-in, far from Mbappé. And here, there's 200,000 Koreans, almost 200,000 Koreans. So you can see that, you know, it has a huge impact in terms of marketing and getting fans. But we all know that these fans are fan of a player, not a fan of a club. If Son Heung-min moves to whatever other club, let's say he goes to, I don't know, like AC Milan, I'm just completely making it up, they would become AC Milan fans. If Lee Kang-in after PSG goes to Chelsea, they would become Chelsea fans. They are PSG fans only because Lee Kang-in is there. I don't blame them. It's certainly not me. I almost couldn't care less where he goes. I'm a PSG fan no matter what, even with zero Korean. He just happens to be there. So my take on that is there's some goods. I mean, for the business, for the image, to get new fans, just like we had Argentinians fans when Leo Messi was there, and maybe we have more Brazilian fans when Neymar was there, whatever. This is what football marketing does, right? The player of a country. I just hope that the performance-wise, he delivers, right? I mean, it's good to be a star in the country for being a Korean player in Paris Saint-Germain, but I think he had some good performances, but I think that maybe his international competition have had, and certainly have an impact because physically speaking, and it's a tough competition. I mean, he's not a star. He's been trained in Spain and he knows Spain is European trained, but he's not at the level of other stars. So he has to work hard to earn his spot. So I'm a bit harsh on him, but I'm a kind of a fan of him because I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm proud when he scores and when he does good passes. But the last few games, I mean, come on, I'm quite disappointed. So that's my take on that. And again, to go back to the fandom, it's just a normal, typical Korean effect. You know, that's nothing crazy. I think it's good for the club. I know some friends who love him and who actually get his jersey. They're non-Koreans, and I've met some, but I think it's just makes me smile, makes me happy. But I'm still interested in the performance for Beji.
Yeah, you are, because you are like this kind of old school fans. You're coming from that, from a different time before the big money and before all of this. So you're not bothered too much by these fluctuations. It's just part and parcel of this modern football.
Right, exactly. And we can probably talk about the Mbappe star effect, all that stuff. I clearly say out loud that I'm a fan and supporter of the Paris Saint-Germain Football Club, not of a single player. There are players in history that I respect way more than others because they have shown the true attachment, the true love for the club. But we know that the current football business model is a business and it's a mercenary system where it's all about, yes, I go there because I get paid more. Messi and Neymar, they came to PSG not because they love the club or Paris. They just love the salary that they get. So we know that. But in history, they have, I can name a few that we know that they are highly respected. When I had a chance to visit Parc des Princes, they have specific players on special kind of drawings that they made, and I even posted some pictures. Not everybody is on those pictures, you know. I could name a few, but Zlatan is one of them, Pauleta is one of them, Rai is one of them, you know. Those emblematic, that's what I call legend for me. Anybody else, you know, we could talk about that if you want, but yeah, that's that's a different kind of legend, right?
Yeah, and I think maybe with time we'll see also how it starts, how these players feel some years down the line, like, you know, how we start understanding maybe their significance for the club and the kind of phase that the club was going through at the time. But let's talk about the big name at the moment, the big talking point. I think it's kind of like inescapable. You have to mention Kylian Mbappe's name. He's a player still for a couple of more months, probably not for very much longer. So that's something to take into consideration. He seems to be going elsewhere next summer. How do you feel he has conducted himself in all this? I mean, technically, there is no official announcement or anything like that. And his departure has been talked about before. And everybody were wrong at the time. So there's always that. But I think at the moment, it seems more likely that indeed he's going. That seems to be the thing. It's not as much of a secret as maybe it was last time. How do you feel about the way he has conducted himself?
Well, let me tell you up front that I always, you know, and I can be completely dinged for that. But I think there's a lot of fans who share my opinion. I've never been a big fan of him because performance-wise, he's amazing. You know that. Although we can argue that sometimes he let us down. I won't go to details. But yeah, of course, he has all the records possible. The stats are amazing, unbelievable. But he's, you know, let me put it this way. The guy becomes world champion at less than 20 years old in 2018. Okay, this is a year and a half after he signed at PSG. And you have to give him that it's hard not to have the kind of the big head. You are the youngest, one of the youngest players to win the World Cup, the best player and supposedly in the world, whatever. And so I think his attitude has come across, and I have a feeling that he may have impacted his teammates, the club, and also from the club perspective to have kind of bent over and backwards to get whatever he wants. But in terms of directly to your questions, I think his communication strategy is extremely carefully studied. You know, his image, everything is carefully planned, strategized. There's no random communication. Once in a while, he makes some very obscure communication. So to be honest, I'm not on Instagram, but I'm on Twitter, I'm on X and Facebook, but I do see sometimes what he does. For this particular case, I am not convinced that the timing of this leak, because obviously something has happened between him and the coach, the players or management, I don't know. From the reports I've read, converging, that apparently he has talked to the coach and the coach was not happy. The timing of his announcement, I found it still strange. It was after or right around the first game against Sociedad. And two, 3 weeks away in between, I just don't know what was the point of doing that. Some people say it's good, some people, I don't think he was right. And I think that his ability to stay silent, we know that he recently went to Élysée, invited by President Macron, the Emir was there, the Qatar. But this was, from what I understood, a geopolitical, very political meeting. And I don't understand, I mean, why he's even there. Of course, there's all speculations. The joke is like, oh, they're gonna try to keep him with offering him a humongous contract, whatever. So he's more than a football player. He's not just a football player. Actually, I don't think he's even a typical football player. He is a multinational corporation who has impact on geopolitical, maybe, I wouldn't say decisions, but in the discussion, he's part of this. And I think, to be fair, his behavior is driven by the fact that where institutions and people have put him, including PSG, including the government, including the media, including like everyone, is putting him on a separate kind of level as a human being. And as much as we can say he's mature, he's still very young. He's in mid-20s, knowing that. And yeah, so I'm never, as I said, it doesn't surprise me the way he behaves. He will keep it, but I don't know where this leak comes from, where this leak is a little bit more, sounds more serious than last time. I will never really forgive what he did with his whole the money thing. At the same time, the club allowed it. But I just think that he's more there to kind of take advantage of his situation. I feel that in a very negative perspective that he sometimes used the club. And I don't like players who use my club to get richer and to find other contracts. You know, cannot stand that. So yes, he has given a lot to the club with his performance. He has sold a lot of jersey. He has sold a lot of merchandising. He made the club known. But personally, I would not miss him. I think a lot of fans are sharing that. It's like, again, he's Kylian Mbappé drama, and it just keeps going. And I just want this to be over. You know, just tell us you're gone and sign the damn thing, announce it officially. But why doing it a couple of weeks before a decisive game for the season? Here's your chance also to play super well and maybe help us with the Champions League, which honestly, I'm not counting on that. I'll be happy to make the quarters, maybe the semis. But if he can finish well with PSG with a good performance, I think it would be nice. But his communication, his behavior, as you can feel in my comments, never be crazy about that.
Yeah, he's certainly a kind of character, and I really agree that everything is very calculated, very carefully calculated, and usually when he sort of like steps out of the script and says something, he ends up regretting and sometimes even apologizing or saying that it was a misunderstanding or so on and so forth. And it is interesting, like you said, about this event that was taking place where there was Macron. Macron, of course, always likes to associate himself, maybe for political reasons, with sport people, footballers, and Kylian Mbappé is now the captain of the French national team and all of that. So of course it's an important, maybe it was just sort of, because it was a very confusing thing that why he would be there, because he's not really saying almost anything political ever. I mean, grassroots, yeah, he has his foundations, things like that. He does kind of like good on a grassroots level, but he like, in all fairness, no other footballers, they very rarely have any kind of views about the broader political subject matter. So it's, you know, it was a bit unusual.
Yeah, and to go back to the football stage, and there was a big controversy about the last game against Rennes, when for the first time, with no reason, no injury, you know, that he was taken out, right? He was substituted by Enrique. I think it's a really good thing. But now there's a whole debate where did he do that because Enrique knows that he's leaving. You see, that just that fact that he can do that because he's leaving, he cannot do that if he extended, tells you that the weight and the impact he has on the team. Because even if he plays bad, which he played poorly against Rennes, we have to say that. I mean, he sucked. You know, the M&M, when the time, they were never taken out, right? They can't. Now he can, for the right or wrong reason. And then, you know, there's everybody saw how he threw his captain thing, which I found disrespectful. There have been lots of debates and, oh, this is just... No, I mean, this is... I don't think so. I think it's out of frustration, out of disrespect. It shows the character. And so this is the thing that make you him dislike even more. You don't do that. You go to your teammate and you just do that. But he was so pissed off that he was substituted. But, you know, hey, that's life, you know, football life, and learn it. When he goes to supposedly Real Madrid, he will be subbed. Carlo Ancelotti will go, and he may not even start in some games. So get used to it, buddy. You, it's good for you to go to a team where you'll be just a player like another, not this super god on a team that nobody can touch you. So it's good for him, and he wants to go there, good. But please don't do these things for the club. I mean, this is just not very professional to do that. It would, the way he threw that thing, like he threw it at a dog. I mean, this is, to me, it was like, oh my God, this pissed me off even more. This whole Rennes game last time was kind of the icing on the cake. Is like, this guy, he thinks he's above the club. And that's why, despite his amazing performance with some down sometimes, like, you know, he's having a hard time to earn the heart of the fans. Like, he will never be a legend like all some players I named earlier for me, even if he's a stat. He will be a legend by statistics, but he will never be a legend by heart. For me, he's not. You know, for the players I mentioned, forever, they are part of the club forever. For me, 7 years is a long time, but you got paid crap load of money and you kind of did your job, but I think he was kind of overpaid for what he did. And thank you, goodbye. It's kind of, that's unfortunately, and as in French, bon vent, just finish the season well with us, but don't behave like that, like you did for, and this is really bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a certain disrespectful sort of air around the whole thing when you do things like that. And of course, he's not used to being subbed off. I mean, when he was subbed off before, when he was substituted off in previous seasons, and this is already a couple of seasons ago, but he always used to be very, very upset. There's all those videos, images when Thomas Tuchel is, you know, calling him in, and he doesn't even want to have that conversation. Like, he's just sort of like being quite like a petulant child, actually. But that's that kind of part and parcel of it also. And the thing about it is that now he's just, what's happening now, I really agree what you were saying earlier, what is happening now, when he's been taken off, when he's not playing well, or even if he's resting a match like he did the other week, that's the way that it was supposed to be all along. Like, that's the right way of doing it. Not that he's starting every single match, even when we've been playing in Coupe de France against like lower level teams. And I give you that. I really like Coupe de France, and I think that it's part of the magic that you play against those clubs. And of course, it means a lot to those people that they can see Kylian Mbappe. It wouldn't be nice if we go there and put on our under-19s team or something like that. I understand that it's nice that there's like those things, but maybe 90 minutes is not necessary in all those matches either. So there's that. You've kind of like talked around it and perhaps even quite directly already, but what do you think his legacy is going to be in Paris? Do you think that in years to come, when we kind of get over this thing, because I think one of the things that everybody's quite tired of course, I certainly am, is this constant speculation. How many seasons, especially all the springs, it's just there. It's like Neymar is injured, is Kylian Mbappe leaving, and then whatever else. Like, there's the same subject matter, same topics that have been just recurring every year, it seems. So I think that's going to be something that is going to be very positive, that we will have no more of those unbenchable players that you can't just take off, that they will have to be there no matter how they play. There's not going to be that kind of player power that we've had and we've suffered from, I think, as a team, as a unit. But what do you think? So those to me are certainly are very positive. But if we're looking at the player just on his merits, and you've talked about this already, but statistics, great. You can't really, you know, you can't really complain about them, but what is his legacy? What is his legacy for Paris?
Well, I might be sounding harsh, but I think his legacy will pretty much stop at his direct performance. But to be honest, I mean, okay, yeah, he's the highest scorer of all time. I've seen the trophy, and it's gonna be hard to beat. You know, he was Cavani for a while, and he beat it. He was decisive in many games, but he was, personally, I'm still upset at the Manchester game, and especially the Bayern game. We think that pass to Neuer could have changed the whole history. So when his crucially moment, he wasn't meeting expectations. This is where we wait for him. But in terms of his legacy, I think that he would be remembered as probably one of the best player and scorer. But as I mentioned, a football player is also a lot of emotions and family kind of, you know, atmosphere. And for me, he will just be kind of a neighbor or a guest. Thank you for having come and served. I don't see him speak bad about the club like Messi did, as a coward, because I think, you know, he's professional and nice enough, and he's still French. You know, he's a French club, Paris Saint-Germain, and he's in France. But I am not sure he will bring a lot of that affection and attention. And even ironically, you know, Javier Pastore, obviously, he has the unluckiest career. But the short time he played, this guy was injured all the time, but the magic he brought, but his game, but also the relationship with the fans. You know, I have rarely seen Mbappe going into the fans and getting into them. And as a best player of the club, he should. Zaire Emery, one of the youngest guy, is going to the ultras and sing with them. And Marquinhos, as a captain, he does that. Mbappe is cold, you know, and fans, I think, respect him because he's a great player. He makes things happen. He helps us win games. He saves us. But I have never seen an image where, yes, he claps, he comes, and he does his job. But it's no more than that, right? He does the job. And so that's why I think fans will, you know, right now is, you know, I say I'm a PSG fan, and everybody who doesn't know anything about PSG, well, Mbappé. I'm like, oh, yeah. For me, PSG is not Mbappé, as the saying goes. There was a PSG before him. There will be a PSG after him. Other teams without him won the Champions League. You know, those are the common things you get, right? He's not this magician, because if he was that good, maybe he would have won the Champions League with him. You know, but again, football is not a one player game, thankfully. So legacy wise, sportive, like, you know, athletically performance, no question about it. Although there are some very good players who did similar. But even somebody like Cavani or Thiago Silva, who, in my view, because of COVID, the departure was complicated, or Marco Verratti, we were able to do a tribute, but, you know, it was not a clean departure. Those, to me, have, I don't know, more legacy than him, to be honest. You know, I can go back to people like Zlatan, even his charisma, but Pauleta, you know, the best one. Like, I mean, there's some players way above him that, to me, will leave what I call a legacy and a legendary legacy. Okay, football is, of course, results first. But in terms of results, yes, we won a title thanks to him and win a lot of games. But then legacy to the club, it has to be more than that. You have to have this relationship and ambassador of the club. Pauleta, David Ginola, they come back regularly to Luis Fernandez. They come back, they support. I don't see Kylian doing that. And I certainly don't expect him to do that. I would find it very strange if he does it, because he's never showed warm affection, love for the club. You know, he said, I'm a professional, I'm proud. Yeah. Professionally, he's great. But missing that little humanity with the fans, with the club, you know, I rarely even see sometimes players kiss their logo of the jersey. You know, he does his little celebration with his arms crossed. That's copyright, whatever. That's the thing. You know, at the end of the day, I think it thinks of him way more first. Think of him first. And the club is just an employer, right? And I'm doing his job. The club pays me. I do my job. Thank you very much. Goodbye. But the other legends, the little legacy makers, they are more than that, you know. And they may not be as good as him in terms of performance, but we love them still. And Pastore is an example of the guy. He did some, of course, the gesture, the style, the elegance, but the vibe with the fans was something. I mean, the guy, everybody loved Pastore, right? So that's the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I think there's quite a lot to that, actually. And it is true that when you're looking at the statistics, and like we both agree, really, like, his statistics are really, really great, and there's no complaints about that. Actually, if you're looking at it, I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to remember this off from the top of my head. I think that the second best all-time scorer out of active players who are still playing for Paris after Mbappe is Marquinhos. So obviously Marquinhos is not going to be anywhere close to becoming the top scorer ever. So when you think about it, the person who is going to eventually break Kylian Mbappé's goal scoring record in Paris, might not even play for us yet, or then it's going to be somebody like Gonzalo Ramos if his career takes off and he gets to play that position or something like that. But there's a chance also that the person who's going to break Mbappé's record is not even in Paris yet. That we don't even know him as a PSG player. I think that's really interesting to hear you talking about that legacy and I really agree with quite a lot of what you're saying. I think he's that there's a certain kind of like you can call it cold, maybe it's professional, I don't know what it is, but there is something like that. And a lot of the times people in a sort of popular football kind of conversation are saying how PSG fans and ultras are always like whistling away. No, well, they whistled Messi because he didn't care. Like, it was evident he didn't care. He showed no passion. And even Neymar sometimes, I think Neymar, when he was playing, he was oftentimes, you know, giving his all, but it was just so rarely that he was playing. And it goes like this, but there's so much love at Parc des Princes when you go there. Last time I was watching a match there was the last home match of the last season. So it was against Clermont. That was the time when Sergio Rico has had that accident with the horse. And the way that the whole stadium was like singing his name, the ultras were singing his name the whole time. There was like a applause and standing ovation and all that. Of course, that was a very special circumstance. But if you talk about Blaise Matuidi can walk to the stadium and people are going to give him love. Like you mentioned, Javier Pastor, there's going to be a lot of players who are going to be there. And I think one day, Thiago Silva at least, I don't know about Cavani, but I think Thiago Silva is one day going to come to the park and get his send-off that he never got because of the corona reasons and what have you. So it's going to be interesting to see. But let's talk about a little bit about that time that is going to come inevitably after Kylian Mbappé, the post-Mbappé era. It seems to me that we are more prepared for playing without him now than maybe we ever have been. And it's always, even when Cristiano Ronaldo left like Real Madrid or when Zlatan left PSG, when these very prolific scorers leave, you're basically taking like tons of goals every season away. So somebody else needs to score that many more goals. You need to find those people who are actually putting the ball into the back of the net. And I think that we do have some of those players and it's going to be very interesting to see. But you shouldn't take lightly losing. Like, I don't know how many goals he's going to score this season, but he's now well past 20. So let's say it's going to be 30, maybe. Well, hopefully approaching 40, but we'll see how it's gonna go. Certainly combining the Champions League and Coupe de France and Ligue 1, maybe it's gonna be somewhere there. How do you look at the project without him going forward? What do we need? What should be, in your opinion? This is of course just an opinion, but how do you view the future of PSG?
Well, I think that maybe the owners have realized that the star model hasn't really worked. We become a high valued financially because of the intangible assets company with Messi, Neymar, Mbappé there for a few years. But we know that football-wise, it hasn't given more than that expected. That we, you know, it hasn't given as much as expected. And so him leaving leaves kind of a hole with kind of the last star who leaves. But you can define star like, yeah, okay, a great famous player, great player. We have did a really nice recruitment, I think. I mean, it's not perfect, but we have in the offense side, we have big surprises, pleasant surprise like Barcola. The guy, for me, he incarnates the sort of the future. Zaire Emery, he's not a forward, but he's there. And we have seen, ironically, that substitute Ramos, when he comes in, and it was a very ironic way because, you know, you get off, Mbappé gets off, Ramos comes in, and he's the one who creates the, okay, potentially controversial penalty, yet he's a scorer, he's a savior. And others like Dembélé, Asensio, I think you can build a team around it. Once you take Mbappé out, it might be, maybe I'm completely off, but it might be easier to build because now you don't have to worry about passing the ball to him only, right? And you see sometimes the players, they feel obligated to pass the ball to him. There was a sequence in the last game too that game, I think, reveals a lot of things about the way that we play in Mbappé as well. When Barcola tried to take a shot, right? You know, if you remember, there was a scene where Mbappé was like very upset at him. But Barcola is allowed to take a shot. He's a forward, and he so this whole Mbappé dependence, reliance, or fear of being blamed because you don't pass the ball to me is gone. So for me, there's a way to build a team on a more homogeneous, equal basis, rather than focusing on one player, which we tend to do. Before, it was complicated because we have Messi and Neymar, so we have three players. You know, Galtier Estelle was pass the ball to one of the M&M and let's see what happens kind of thing. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but it was almost like that. Now, I can see Luis Enrique is playing less like that. I think he's already getting prepared before even the announcement that we will play. Yes, Mbappé is still decisive. He's still there. But you don't see that huge dominance as we expect. So I think we are getting to the phase of transitioning maybe towards a Mbappé-less PSG, which we have to get used to. And in terms of, if you're asking about recruitment, I am not in a position to give any names out there. There's so many rumors. Obviously, his transfer in terms of salary, we released a lot of cash. So there's a lot of room to hire some decent players. I think for his salary, you can hire about 4 players, you know, 3 or 4 players easily that might do the job. And we need to reinforce our middle field. We have, I think, enough to build a good offense. Honestly, we have like 4 or 5, you know, very nice offense. Are we going to play with a 9? Really? A real 9 with Ramos? Is Mbappé was misutilized, you know, for different reasons? And so it's time to rebuild the thing. And I have trust in Lucho, Luis Enrique, to do that. But to me, the defense was, obviously, we talked about earlier, maybe reinforce some defense, get a 1 or 2 good defenders, and especially the midfield. The midfield is weak. The midfield is weak. He's getting injured. He's not balanced. He's trying so many combos. Get some strong midfield. That's what you need. And because at the end of the day, when the game is at the end and you go overtime where you have those last 50 minutes, the midfield makes a difference. Okay. And we need to have players who are able to run, get the ball and help our offense. So I am no worried at all about Mbappé. Honestly, he scored a lot of goals, but a lot of time it's triple A, like 3-0 against Clermont or whatever. We don't need to win 3-0 every game. So I prefer to win 5 times 1-0 than 1 time 5-0, right? That's the saying. So yes, we may score less goals as a team, but if we make the same kind of wins, number of wins by 1 or 2 goals, is enough. And of course, we also, as a fan, you want show, you want style, you want nice game. But I have zero concern about Mbappé leaving because I think everybody is kind of ready to play without him. And Enrique said it controversially that, you know, at the end of the game, he said it. It was a bit daring, right, to say that. And I think he got bashed for that a bit. But it's true, he says. You know, we 7 years, spent a lot of years. It's time to go and to go back to the legend and legacy thing. For 7 years, he could have done more in terms of relationships. So for me, he's gone. I just want him to finish nice. He will get a very nice send-off, deserved, no problem. Like Verratti got one. He's going to get probably a much bigger one. Good for him. But to go back to the topic, in terms of the play, we have done, I think the recruitment may have been already prepared the post-Mbappé season. When you look at the recruitment, you go, yeah, people say it was his choices, but no, Lucho and QSI, they say, okay, we need to reinforce the offense with, you know, young players, you know, and also players who are more polyvalent. Because to be honest, Mbappé games is great, but it's pretty much the same, right? We know his style. That's why even now he's getting sometimes not performing because defenders know his game. It's the same game, right? He doesn't play, you know, like La Barcola, the style. He doesn't play with a head. He does his little passement jump, like dribbles. So I think I have almost no concern about that. And I think we are already in the preparation to play after him.
It is very true. And I think we have a lot of great attacking players in the team already. And I think what you also talking about that relationship still there, I think one of the things about the relationship is that I think his legacy, just to get back to that word for a brief moment, is to say that if we would not have been dealing with this, is he leaving, is he going to Real Madrid? He's had like a one foot in Real Madrid for like many seasons now. It's been just like out of 7 years, how many seasons have been about like, well, is he going to be here next season? And that's also something that makes it very difficult to build for the future after him. But now I think that there is a very good, I think that the team is quite balanced. Without him, you can have 11 players who are participating in defense. You're going to have people who are pressing, who are making those runs. Even in Ligue 1 this season, he's like in the fastest sprints. He's not in the, I don't know if he's in top five or somewhere, but he was, I think, sort of like outside of that, just about or thereabouts. Even though he's been known for his speed, but it just feels like he hasn't really put his all into it. He's just so good that he doesn't have to. But with him on the pitch, some players like Barcola, maybe arguably also Colomwani, you kind of lose their edge a little bit because the ball is always given to Mbappe, because effectively he is the target player. All the passes are going to him. So it's going to be easier for the opponents to defend because they know that you need to defend him, especially because the ball is going to be pretty much always given to him. And that's why it's kind of pointless to have another target player there like Ramos, because if he's not getting the balls, then what can he do? He can't really do much. It's just that Kylian Mbappe is such a technical good player in finishing that even with few defenders, he can still score. And that's not really the question. But I do think that it can be much more balanced. And another interesting thing, of course, is I agree. I think defense need to be, there needs to be some strengthening there. And I hope that there would be a very good, like a starting central defender that I think would be very, very positive development for the team. With the midfield, I mean, it's difficult not to miss the old days of Verratti, Motta and Matuidi. And you kind of had that strong midfield that would keep the whole core of the team together. But Xavi Simons also is somebody who's coming. There's every week there seems to be a new rumor about him. What is the conditions of the loan deal or whatever? But I would imagine that I couldn't believe if PSG had made some kind of arrangement that he wouldn't come back next season. And I think that he's certainly an interesting player who's also going to bring in a lot. So there's going to be many different options and potential solutions, and then it's up really for the coach to decide how they're going to play. But I like you, I also feel, and I'm really actually very excited. I really look forward to this time.
I wouldn't call maybe era is a big, but it's the end of a chapter, the star chapter we had a few years. We may not sell as many jerseys. We may not have a lot of, we have less Instagram followers. But I think the purpose of a football club is not to sell jerseys only and have Instagram followers. It's to perform on the field, provide good games, consistent games, techniques. So no more bricolage, no more or less bricolage or less focus on the stars. So I'm also excited like you to start the post-Mbappé, post-Eminem period, basically, because it was just 1 year apart that Neymar, Messi left. 1 year later, Mbappé comes and stays and leaves. But hopefully, as I said, he will finish in beauty, like with a title, which is almost acquired, with a Coupe de France, which, you know, if we beat these, I think we are pretty much in a good shape. And in Champions League, if we even make it to the quarters, I'd be honestly humbly happy to just make this and have a nice quarters. If we lose with manner, with style, it's okay, but just please let's play in April for once. You know, that's my wish. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and I agree with you, I think that the chapter or whatever you then would call it that is ending is maybe the one that sort of started with Zlatan coming in. It's a kind of like this star power of like a focal attacking player, and like last year was really like, or last couple of years we had even three of them, but now next season it's going to be a different thing by the look of things. And I was saying it in the last episode of this show, PSG review, that I think that in actual fact I think Kylian Mbappe leaving PSG might be a bigger problem for Ligue 1 than for PSG, and it's certainly going to in fairly quick succession losing Messi, Neymar, Mbappe, Verratti, you know, the whole host of names, Ramos, Sergio Ramos, you know, even though whatever the level might have been, but they have a big star power and that. So that's a whole different question, and that's not necessarily something that we get too much into. But a moment ago, we were talking about this event that was taking place earlier this week at LSCT, with the Emir of Qatar, with Emmanuel Macron, and Nasser Al-Khelaifi, Kylian Mbappe, and whole host of other dignitaries, of course, but these were just the names that we mentioned. And one of the reports, I don't know whether this is true or not, but one of the reports was that, and of course, Qatar was talking about the big investment it's going to make in France and so on. But the stadium question is a question that was reportedly talked about, and you can kind of like, if you look at it just by the face value, it can be like Qatar makes a big investment, needs a favor from, of course, City of Paris is a different thing than the central government and so on. But to me, and I've talked a lot about the different stadium options and possibilities, and we don't really necessarily have to get into those. I think most of them are fairly poor options. I haven't yet seen anything. Even if you take the emotional attachment to Parc des Princes, which of course is significant, it's a huge thing. But even if you take that away, I just don't think that those other options that have been talked about are very good. They're very far or otherwise, you know, compromised in other ways. So we don't know what is going to happen. I feel like this is a poker and last word has not yet been said. What are your feelings? You say you come from... You come from there, from the area. That's your neighborhood, and Parc des Princes undoubtedly has a significant place in your heart as well. But how have you been following this conversation about the potential stadium renovations, purchase, new loan deal, or lease, or moving?
Well, I know that people say that a lot of clubs, big clubs, Arsenal included, other clubs have moved stadium. They may or may not have the same history with their old stadium, the relationships. I'm not saying that Paris is different, but I had a chance during my visit, as I told you, that I was a part of this 15-year anniversary of the PSG Club Montreal that I co-founded, and we had the exclusivity chance to actually interact and visit the Ultras, the SCUP, Collectif Ultra Paris. You can visit it, of course, when you go to the stand, although it's very hard to get tickets there. But when you see the walls of that stand, okay, and I'll send you some photos, I felt like in a museum. It was painted in the colors and it's very artistic. I just don't see how we're going to leave that. This is an emblematic, rooted values of PSG in Parc des Princes. That made me even more think when I saw that, because I hadn't got to Auteuil for a long time, and I had a chance to go to Auteuil without anybody, an empty stadium. And I saw it, I talked to the guys, and to me, I cannot even conceive that we leave Parc des Princes. To me, I don't even believe it. I'm hoping that maybe it is a bluff to get the city of Paris to finally sell the stadium or whatever, so they can renovate and expand it. I don't know if the meeting that they had at Élysée, as you said, it's a jurisdiction of the city, although, you know, France, French government, you know, sometimes they can put a lot of pressure. But we know Macron and that mayor, Anne Hidalgo, they're not in the same political spectrum. So we don't know what's going to happen. But to me, it's a huge deal. I mean, I don't see any other options to me as a PSG fan to go in anything that I've heard. As you said, public transfer wire is far. It's going to take time. It's not going to look the same, the history. I just don't know. I don't want to believe it. And sometimes I just don't want to hear about it because... maybe I'm in denial. Maybe it will happen. But a lot of fans feel that way. For me, if PSG leaves Parc des Princes, it's no longer PSG for me. I mean, it's just like, what happened, right? Not because when I go there, not to be able to go there. I can always make it today. But it's just not going to feel that way. Even when PSG plays the final of Coupe de France or Coupe de la Ligue in Stade de France, I just have a totally different feel. You know, on TV... I have never been to Stade de France for PSG for a reason. First of all, probably I couldn't make it. But even if I could, it's the last place I want to go to watch PSG, you know. So to me, it's stuck together. PSG is Parc des Princes, Parc des Princes is PSG. And I assume that a lot of fans will agree. But some of the fans will say, you know, it's time to move on, blah, blah. You can think that. We can agree to disagree. But I just hope that there will be a good outcome of it. If the meeting of Macron and Emir and Nasser have discussed that, nobody knows. then I would have a great meeting. And nobody cares about what Mbappe said or not. That would be a key with the investment they're going to make. I think 10 billion. Macron announced it officially, so I think it's true. Well, then maybe you should sell the stadium to them. you know, and I'm not saying that we should be, France should be, you know, subject to getting the money and do whatever, you know, no, but hey, it's for the good of the stadium. First of all, I went there twice during my trip. It's old. It needs renovations. And they want them to renovate the thing without selling to them. It's like you're a tenant and you just do all the, I mean, come on. And it's not like the Louvre Museum or the Eiffel Tower. It belongs. It's attached to a private football club. You know, the Eiffel Tower, which rumor says that Qatar wanted to buy the Eiffel Tower. That's a different vibe. Okay. But the ownership of the stadium, to be honest, it can be anybody. You know, it's an entity, it's a building. And the only user is PSG. And my other question is, if PSG really, what's going to happen? This is no way that you can ever build anything on it because it's on top of the peripheric. So I don't think you can build, I mean, they're not going to destroy it. It will be completely underutilized and they will lose a lot of money. So for me, just sell it and let Qatar QSI do the renovations needed because, again, it's getting old. And PSG will play there forever, you know? And so, yeah, I'm maybe on semi-denial mode. I just don't want to hear anything about moving elsewhere.
I hear you. And that would be particularly vindictive to not sell it to PSG and then tear it down. But it is true that these things are interconnected, the club and the park, because, like you said, and this is one of the reasons why I think that we haven't heard yet the last word, but people are just playing sort of power games and hardball with it, because like you really rightfully mentioned, I think this is my belief too, is that what is Parc des Princes without PSG? You can ask what is PSG without Parc des Princes, but what is Parc des Princes without PSG? What is going to be there? Who is going to be there? And also, it's going to be expensive for the city of Paris to do the upkeep of that. Like you mentioned, it is not a new building. It needs a little bit of sprucing up, and it has modern parts, but it's not a modern stadium as such. So I think that just because it would make the most logical sense, I think it would make cultural sense, heritage sense, but it will probably also make financial sense for the city of Paris. I would like to hope that they're just playing hard ball, and then eventually they're gonna come back around and say that okay, there just needs to be a kind of an exit strategy for them also, how they can, what is gonna be the symbolic gesture or the gesture or prize or whatever that they're gonna let it go. But I would like to think that that PSG is gonna continue at Park. Not guaranteed. I would like to think so. I agree with you. And I don't have the exact same relationship. I've of course been to Parc des Princes, you know, but it's you know, that's your neighborhood, old neighborhood. So I it's fascinating to hear your views about it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very meaningful place. I mean, in fact, my middle school and high school were around Parc des Princes, so I grew up there. So it's my little garden, as we say, and I could not imagine it without it, you know, and that's, and I've been there, I couldn't even count, but I was so probably around 50, 60 times. I mean, it's, so it leaves a mark, right? So
it does.
And, you know, a lot of fans are that way. Their fans have been there hundreds of times, you know, for years, you know, for decades, right? So.
Absolutely. Well, that's something that is not in our control, but we just continue and follow the situation. You can look the other way if you feel like it's too heart wrenching to listen to the rumors. But I'm hopeful still with that. I'm hopeful that it's going to continue like this. Thank you so much, Charles, for your time. This has been really it's been really wonderful to hear your insights. I always love to hear that kind of stuff. So thank you so much for your time and much appreciated.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was fun to share insights and feelings, and I hope our listeners will enjoy it. Thank you very much.
That is all for now. Many thanks again to Charles for joining us here on PSG Review. I really always enjoy hearing from people who have sharp analysis. He certainly has got one. I actually have met Charles in real life as well. He was visiting Helsinki, where I live, last year, and he watched a match with our local fan club here last spring. Hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Thanks again for listening to the show, PSG Review. My name is Mikko, and we have Monaco match on the road tomorrow as I record this now on Thursday. And after that, it's, of course, the big one against Real Sociedad. Women are currently on an international break. More PSG Review next time. Until that, peace.